Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello everyone and welcome. Today we're going to look at Habakkuk chapter 1 verses 1 to 4 and chapter 2 verses 1 to 4. This is the first lesson for the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. From the English Standard Version our text reads, "The prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife, and conflict abounds. Therefore the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted." And then continuing into chapter 2, "I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up, his desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness." When our favorite team is struggling, it's hard to watch. One thing makes it even tougher, bad refereeing. Put those two together and an outrage is guaranteed. Either the officials make the wrong call or they make no call at all, and you'll hear something like, "It's bad enough we play lousy, now the ref won't give us a break." They say the bad calls always eventually even out, but it gets worse before it gets better. Sometimes Christians feel that way about the calls God makes or doesn't make when things are bad. Either God's apparent inactivity or the course of action God does seem to choose leaves us feeling like victims of injustice. Of course, God will get it right in the end, but it may just get worse before it gets better. In the film, the Count of Monte Cristo, the hero Edmund, has been unjustly imprisoned in the dark Chateau d'If. He enters his cell for the first time, escorted by the prison warden, Dorliac. There, Edmund sees a hand-gouged inscription on the cell wall, "God will give me justice." The warden scoffs. "People here often try to keep their spirits up with graffiti, sometimes by drawing calendars, but eventually they lose hope, and all he's left with is an unsightly wall." So the warden has developed a new way to help prisoners mark time, a beating every year on the anniversary of their imprisonment. Oh, but he does also like to offer something special on the very first day of a man's sentence. Yes, an initial beating they'll remember their entire stay. As we watch this enacted, we may think to ourselves, why Edmund? Why an innocent man? Why now? Where is God? As he's been lifted off the floor by the chains on his wrists, readied for more of something special. But even then, we are given a wonderful answer by our hero. God is everywhere. He sees everything. In other words, don't worry, one day you'll get what's coming to you. The response to this wit confirms to us the more who is right and who is wrong. The warden blasphemes coldly. "I'll tell you what, you keep calling on God and the moment he shows up, I'll stop." It can be hard to take when it seems like God won't come to our rescue. But we know that Edmund was also right. God does see everything, and there will be a time for justice, in this life or in the next. We see a clear Christian message here. The power of faith, our trust in God's ability to right the wrongs of this life, whether we see them or not. As Christians, we know that there is a day when every one of us will fully and forever experience God's perfect solution to all our troubles. But this doesn't take away from us an ounce of the reality that we are in troubles now. This isn't portrayed any better than when someone is seen put away for life, for no good reason. He's innocent. Strength is absent. There's nothing but submissive silence. Nothing we can do. Right when we think there isn't a time when it would be more appropriate for God to show himself, he doesn't. Why not? One answer is that maybe we don't realize that it can and probably will get even worse before it gets better. We don't really know how cruel man can be until he exercises that cruelty. And we don't know how amazing God can be until he rescues us, redeems us, sets us free until he does it. That's the whole point. It exceeds our wildest imaginations and betters even our own ultimate dreams of freedom. But this is an interesting thing about God's people, isn't it? Why is it that we are even more tempted from time to time to concern ourselves with what we simply cannot know, or act like God himself can be unjust? Perhaps it's because we can get into the habit of talking about God ourselves as mundanely. Hopefully not to the point of blasphemy, like the warden in our film. But where's the line? Is there not a point in our lives when we do start to look up and point the finger? God suddenly gets an earful from us, as Job does in Job 7. It's not quite the same as praying. It turns into a blaming match. We complain to God about our lives and their present state of affairs. Even Jeremiah does it in Lamentations. King David does it with the Psalms. Jesus sees fit to pray the prayer, though righteously, from Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus picks this cry to shout out from the cross at a time when he essentially knows that things will get worse before they get better. He's going to die for us. And we see in our text for today that Habakkuk does the same thing, and so at least he's taking it to God. He isn't taking it to Baal or to some idol on one of the high places, but is that really a good excuse for his complaining? We look to the time in which Habakkuk lived, a prophet in Judah during the reign of King Jehoiakim in the last decade of the 7th century BC. It would have been a time of chaos, uncertainty, international intrigue and violence for Judah. Habakkuk had gone often to the Lord on behalf of the people of Israel to pray for them in their idolatry. Perhaps his prayers at times did ask for God to shake them up a bit, so as for them to realize that they were doing evil in the eyes of the Lord. But exile? Maybe not. Maybe something lighter. Habakkuk's prayers are so ardent that they begin in the first person. His complaints seem personal. He uses words such as I and my. His first complaint focuses on God's lack of response, for violence, injustice, and wrong seem to flourish. Was God distracted, uninterested, or on vacation? First, Habakkuk probably thought to himself that God is the kind of referee who prefers not to make a judgment call at all. But the Lord reveals himself to Habakkuk and consoles him that he is being quite active. Even at that moment, God was orchestrating a coming invasion of Judah by the Chaldeans, or Babylonians. The Lord informed Habakkuk that this was going to bring justice to Judah. Of course, then, when Habakkuk brings this news to the king, the only question for them becomes whether or not they preferred no news at all to this news. And in anticipation of this reaction, Habakkuk initially complains to God a second time. And then the question will be, aware of God's strategy, can he warn his people in a way that they can prepare for this invasion? Of course, we cannot hide from the wrath of God. But though the people of God know this, can they take small satisfaction in knowing that they at least tried to thwart their destruction? Wouldn't that be fair? Wouldn't that be wise? How can God justify his actions by conquering a nation with one that is as corrupt, if not more so, such as the Babylonians? After all, they're not his chosen people. But there's something they should have realized from the beginning. He is the referee. What he says goes. However much we complain about his call, he still calls the shots. That's the point. We know it. But we still struggle with the decisions God makes, and so do even God's prophets sometimes. Habakkuk wanted to know how the people of God, being conquered and driven from the promised land, could ever lead to a positive end. But that's the problem right there. It's not our decision to make, and we shouldn't pretend like we can even make the right one, because we will never be able to see the whole picture like God can. He has the whole picture and series of events played out in his head already. He knows what's going to happen, and he knew how he was going to redeem his people once more, and he even has a trick up his sleeve which no one could ever have predicted. But here and now we're already making judgment calls with the limited knowledge that we have, with our limited wisdom, and we end up judging God. You're listening to Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Ellman. We'll take a break now, and when we come back, we'll continue with how, when we think we're in a bad situation, it's not a time to blame God. It's a time to meditate, realize again that we are in a world of sin, that we have our own sin, and that things might even get worse before they get better. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I am Pastor Gordon Allman, and this is Faith That Functions.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the Spread the Word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
Since 1962, Westfield House in Cambridge has been preparing students with the knowledge, attitudes and skills necessary for the ministry of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and its proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a centre of theological studies, it also seeks to serve the Lutheran Church, both in this country and overseas, by the promotion of Christian learning at all levels. Westfield House provides theological education within the framework of a confessional Lutheran perspective and offers resources that further the understanding of that perspective. Westfield House also offers the only significant Lutheran library in the country. Find out more about Westfield House on the internet at www.westfieldhouse.org.uk. Westfield House, the Theological College of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
Hi, this is Pastor John Ehlers, and I'm on a quest. A quest for answers to pressing issues and their ramifications for the church today.
Don't miss The Lutheran Inquisitor every Monday on Lutheran Radio UK. Go to our website for times and podcasts.
This is Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's people.
Before the break, we were talking about God's timing as given through the prophet Habakkuk. Will God redeem his people? Is he a fair referee? Is it better to not have a call at all than to have the wrong call made? And yet there is always hope. If you, the listener, have any questions or comments, send in an email to us at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Back to the message. What we are to see here is that God has also laid out for us a textbook case on how to face a situation that seems to be getting worse rather than getting better. Habakkuk's words weave a path from frustration through a chaotic time in Judah's history to hope. For those of us in the middle of an in-between phase and sensing a downward spiral in the events of our lives, this prophet shows how God provides the blessings that culminate in hope. God provides what moves us to hope, even when things get worse before they get better. So we've already seen God's first provision. Habakkuk takes his frustration to God in prayer. Prayer is not just asking God for things. And, in a sense, God invites us to open our hearts to him, to freely express our anger, hurt, and disappointment and fears. Just realize the source of those things. The Psalms are a good example of this type of open-hearted prayer. All of these emotions topple out of the hearts of the psalmists. As they talk and sing with God, even within a single psalm, we can often hear the mood swings along the way. But more importantly, what prayer recognizes is that hopeless situations change as God listens and acts. We are provided with prayer. Our second provision is that we are provided with faith amid the chaos. Habakkuk says, "I will look out to see what God will say to me." Even having stated his complaints and in prayer, Habakkuk takes the stand to faithfully await God's response, and the word brought to Habakkuk from the Lord then comes in a vision. He not only hears the word of God, but sees it. Just so those looking for hope today seek it in his word, which has been well preserved for us. Here too we can see God's will for our lives and listen to his instruction for our lives and see what he has done to call us his chosen people and hear again what he has done to redeem and sanctify us. We see and hear it as we witness our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ congregate around us. God's word is so important that he told Habakkuk to also carve it into the stone and wood. The word which he spoke was to last for every season. They were to remember the clear and plain words of God with confidence that it was both inspired and true. And so can we today. That takes faith. A third provision which God bestows is the very hope to which we cling. God makes clear that the full answer to Habakkuk's prayer and the complete fulfillment of his prophecy will not come any time soon. But whether it comes soon or not, there is something to look forward to. The Lord told Habakkuk, "For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay." In our day of instantaneous gratification, the call to wait for anything goes down hard for us. Can you imagine a woman saying to a doctor when she first knows she's pregnant, "Doctor, I really don't have 9 months to wait for this baby to come. Is there any way to fit a pregnancy into 6 months?" His answer will be pretty much the same every time, with a few witty differences here and there. No, some things just take time. It may be frustrating, there might be months of chaos and warfare, but that baby is not coming for 9 months. Evidently sometimes longer. But there's hope. You know what's coming. It's hard to remember today, but you know what patience is. Waiting in a queue at the supermarket, being put on hold during a telephone conversation, perhaps waiting for your loving husband to come home after a long day at work. It's quiet at home and you just miss him. It's good for us, really, having times to be patient. It teaches us that as adults there are still times when we are dependent on others, and from the beginning of our lives to their end on this earth, God wants us to know that we are dependent on him. The fourth provision, if you will, is the blessing of God, knowing that, as the Lord again revealed to Habakkuk, the righteous shall live by faith. Now this isn't some command, this is simple knowledge. The righteous shall live by faith. There's no question about that. That is God's will. The writer to the Hebrews put it in this way: faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith, in other words, gives hope its substance. This faith, of course, is in more than the fact that everything will turn out all right. That isn't just something we tell ourselves as some kind of mantra. Rather, as Habakkuk put it, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places." In other words, though my life be a living hell, God is my Savior. Tomorrow, whether I wake or whether I die in my sleep, Jesus is my Savior. He died for my sins on the cross. I don't need a huge imagination to grasp that. My life is frustrating, but this chaos will pass. I have faith in God because he gives me a vision of the life to come, for which I have every hope because of Jesus Christ. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. The podcast of this program, as well as previous episodes, are available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Allman. I serve a lovely congregation in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. Thank you for listening. If you want to hear more, then tune in next week as we again delve into the richness of God's Word in the next episode of Faith That Functions, where we will again find out what the text meant for the audience of its time, who Jesus was speaking to, and what it means for us today. Let us discover together again the wisdom of Scripture. God bless you, and I look forward to speaking to you soon on Lutheran Radio UK.